tomorrow, right now, could you be a $405 contributor, or maybe any amount that you can give? Really, it is all adding up to the goal for our drive, $105,000. We're more than halfway there. We want to thank Victoria from Beaverton, a renewing member. We are getting so close. We need your call right now to get us there, and you will be have your donation doubled, matched dollar for dollar during this News and PA special, and you will win. You will be entered to win. You may win ten pairs of tickets to the Eco Film Festival, and you can take a loved one, go and see a number of films, including Winona LaDuke's new film, The First Daughter and the Black Snake, that's coming up next Thursday. You can see that as your thank you. Call 877-500-5266.
Just call and you get supporters. Entered, and then give the dollars, and you also get this flash drive or many other great gifts. You know, KBOO T-shirts, all sorts of wonderful things. You can.
We have people sitting here just wanting to talk to you about what you would like for your support of KBOO. But really, what you get is the best radio you're going to get anywhere in the nation, as far as I'm concerned. The very best radio for public affairs and news, and the best for the variety of music. It's all at your fingertips. KBOO.fm. If you'd like to make that contribution online, $10 a month, $20 a month. You know, if we really need a hero, you could do the whole 500. 877-500-5266.
We're down to 400. We're almost there. Woo! Come on, people. $400. That's just four of you doing that $10 a month. Can you do that? $10 a month for KBOO. 877-500-5266.
The time is 3:00. You are listening to KBOO Portland, a special News and Public Affairs Day membership drive. Up next is a special investigation feature by reporter Tom Flynn on the Hollywood murders.
Dear KBOO members, this is an announcement that the KBOO Board of Directors meeting for September has changed location. The KBOO Board of Directors will be meeting next on Monday, September 25th at 6 p.m. at Cider Riot, located 807 Northeast Cooch in Portland. Go to kboo.fm for more information.
KBOO's evening news department decided to revisit what happened in Portland on May 26, 2017, the racist encounter on the MAX train when two people who tried to intervene were murdered and a third was seriously injured. We wanted to tell the story that had not yet been told of the event itself and how it may eventually be seen in the history of our city. These are some of the questions that we set out to answer. What about the victims, the two women, the men who were killed, and the young man who was wounded? How are they and their families now and going forward? How important is the fact that the perpetrator was white? Was the perpetrator arrested with more caution than other suspects in other situations of violent crime? Did Portland get fair treatment in the national press? Did our city end up with bad imagery, racist versus strong? What effect has this event had on Portland's image as a community that leads the nation in its liberal views? And why has Congress failed to take action? Why is the idea of commemorating heroic action in Portland seem to have been buried in the House of Representatives? What should the community do, if anything, to commemorate the event long term? Is the idea of a permanent memorial important to how we leave this event? Where do we go from here? We understand that these are difficult questions and can't be fully answered just now, but that's no reason to avoid them, and we did not see any news organization in the community really taking a hard look at the situation. We started with a series of live interviews at the Hollywood Station and went on to interview community leaders and spokespeople. Community leaders, including Mayor Wheeler and Senator Wyden, Asha Deliverance, other of the men who was killed, and the leaders and communities of religion and color. The demonstrations in Charlottesville, Virginia took place as we were conducting interviews and preparing the series for broadcast. This event and the discussion about racism that occurred in its aftermath only heightened the relevance of what had taken place here in Portland. The series raises more questions than we can answer at this time, but we see it as part of an ongoing discussion that will continue for years to come.
A Day in May, The Hollywood Murders, Episode 1, The People Speak. It was a nearly perfect early summer afternoon when most of Portland was just tucking into a three-day holiday weekend, one of those hot, dry days that makes you want to jump into the river, the opening day of an overdue summer. Yet suddenly, at around 3:45 that Friday afternoon, when the first reports started to come in, it was as if the whole world stopped in its orbit and the planet quit spinning for a moment and the news began to sink in. On Friday, the eve of Ramadan, two men were murdered and another severely injured following an altercation with a white supremacist in Portland, Oregon. North Portland resident Jeremy Joseph Christian, 35, allegedly screamed Islamophobic and racist slurs at two teenage girls, one of whom was wearing a hijab while riding a commuter train. When Taliesin Namkai Meche, 23, Ricky John Best, 53, and Micah David Cole Fletcher, 21, intervened, Christian attacked them with a knife, killing Best and Namkai Meche in the process. It's August now, just 3 months after the event, and KBOO News is back at the Hollywood station. The story of what happened on May 26, 2017, and how it happened are still unfolding, and we're trying to see how that day will fit in the history of Portland. In this and the next four episodes of this brief serial report, we'll try to put the events of the day into a context. What do those events mean, and what significance do they have for our city? As we were interviewing and writing this story, the national media spotlight focused on a confrontation in Charlottesville, Virginia, in which a white racist plowed into a group of demonstrators, killing one person. Some of the interviews you'll hear took place before the Charlottesville killing and some afterward. In our view, the Charlottesville situation only intensified the relevance of the discussion underway here in Portland. First, we're reporting from the scene, the Hollywood TriMet station. What's there now? What are the thoughts of station users as they pass through the station today? Let's hear the voice of the people. While I tried to find a mix of people by age, race, and apparent gender, those I recorded were just the random folks passing through the station that day who were willing to speak with me. You'll hear these voices, not in any order, and all mixed together and coming from a range of perspectives. Ashley, Dan, Dakota, Dolly Mae Slider, Enrique de la Cruz, Isaac Des Holmes, Marette Whitney, Molly Libby, Nick, Quinn, Richard Dobson, and a homeless couple that included a young man named Avery. I first asked, what did you see here that day?
And I didn't see the attack, but I was on the platform when it happened. And that was really hard to watch. I saw the people coming out of the train. It was really interesting to see the different reactions because some people obviously were really traumatized and shocked and others seemed kind of excited. And it really bothered me.
The man who was mentally ill, who did the stabbings, I've been on the same train as him over 24 times. So I've seen him before. I've seen his rants before. I've seen other things that happened. So since I wasn't there, I didn't know all the things. But I know he's a person who hates everybody, hates the world, and he feels that the world hates him. And it's kind of hard because it's at our stop. This is the stop I've been taking the train with every day for 16 years to get to and from work.
And then I asked, even if you weren't here at the station that day, what did you feel when you heard about what happened?
Very sad. Very, very sad.
Oh, I was devastated because this is my commute that I go through here every day.
My reaction at first was pretty shocked. I'm not shocked at the violence. It's been escalating a lot lately. What shocked me more was how people responded to it. You see all this graffiti that says Black Lives Matter. It's been covered up by angry people who don't believe in that movement. They wrote hate speech, basically. All the hate speech really concerns me. it sounds like people don't really want to improve the way they think. All this needs is a change in mentality.
That realization that that could have been me. That could have been me that died instead of those two men. I mean, that was a big reality.
As being a Christian, I also feel sorry for that human being that committed the act, this person, that they would take another person's life. And that's what, you know, what can we as society do to help those people that are in that frame of mind? The situation the whole world is in right now is like in a panic mode right now. But you know what? I really believe that God has everything in control.
And then, how do we process what took place here?
I don't think that you do put it behind you. I think you remember it, and hopefully that community can come together in the future and prevent these types of things from happening.
When I get on the max now, I'm really alert and more alert to the things that are around me. It's almost like I have to be prepared to move, to get somewhere else or do something.
And lastly, what should we be doing as a community to move forward?
Well, first, you should change the way people talk, to change the way they think.
We don't get to the root of the problem, because I've always felt like if you don't get to the root, the same old fruit is going to come there. So you have to get to the root of the problem. Why people have, in this state of mind, why are they so angry and bitter?
I think anger needs to move us in a direction of social change and not in violence, because violence gets violence. And if we go that route of getting more violent, we are going to not let this get past us, and we're going to have a big problem.
When they brought him into the court, he was not sorry. He was violent and speaking out and ranting.
The first thing I think that needs to happen is I think we really need to support mental health funding. I think that we really need as a community to understand what's ways to de-escalate situations instead of aggravate it. I think we also need to be able to know how to do things in ways where we protect others but don't harm ourselves. I think we need training on that. That is not intuitive.
Just be aware when we're on public transportation and out in the community to be careful and watchful and try to honor everyone we see. You know, I don't know if the whole community can do anything specific, but, and here's my bus.
There were so many viewpoints and perspectives that these folks raised, but two things stood out. Most people seem to feel a kind of ownership of the station. This is my station. I come here every day. I think about this whenever I come through here. I've lost my feeling that this is a safe place. How do I get it back? And second, it's about mental health. How do we deal with crazy people? Not only on trains and station platforms, but in other public places. What should we be doing? In our second episode, we'll talk to the mayor and other community leaders about how the event fits into the city's history and what it means in terms of race relations. How do city leaders see the long-term impact? How about the religious leaders and the Muslim community? Our third episode is about the victims and their families. What's been the impact of these murders on the lives of people directly involved in the event? Were the victims heroes? In our fourth episode, we'll try to understand the national perspective. Why has Congress failed to recognize this event? What's been its effect on the national image of Portland? Boston became Boston Strong, but what has Portland become? Is white racism somehow winning in a conflict with democratic pluralism? Is racism becoming respectable, mainstream? And finally, we ask, how do we leave this? How do we write the history of what happened that day Will May 26th be seen as a turning point in the history of this city, or will it be just another mile marker on a long trail that begins with the systematic mistreatment of Native people and a misguided constitution, and leads to a seemingly endless series of hateful racial encounters? What results, if any, should we expect? Will there be a permanent memorial? What, if anything, have we learned from what happened on May 26, 2017? The Hollywood Murders, A Day in May. This is the second episode in a five-part series on the Hollywood Metro Station murders. Today we talk with community leaders and others about what happened that day and how the event fits into the city's history and what it means in terms of race relations. Today and in the next few episodes of this series, you'll hear these voices. Micah Fletcher, the victim who survived.
I know everybody wants to disagree or whatever, but I'm not like some hero roaming the streets trying, like, you know, some trained fighter trying to stop crime or something. Like, I'm just some kid. I was trying to get from school to my work, and I got stabbed. Like, it happens.
Asha Deliverance, mother of Taliesin, who died.
All of us, we all need to take the grand journey of love so that we can nurture each other, comfort each other, stand for each other in the face of danger.
Linda Castillo, Office of Neighborhood Involvement and Portland United Against Hate.
It was a community-initiated project, started as a result of an experience and reports from the community regarding the increasing level of hate and aggression and violence towards communities of color.
Randy Blazek, sociologist, criminologist, and chair of the Coalition Against Hate Crime.
In a weird way, it's sort of become hallowed ground, and it's hard not to be there and not think about what happened.
Zakir Khan, Coalition on Islamic American Relations.
No, those individuals were real heroes to our community. We will always be indebted to them, not only for their sacrifice, but for their ongoing commitment to our community.
Shweta Murthy, Coalition of People of Color.
Really, what happened on the MAX train in May was not an idiosyncratic blip. Our communities have been experiencing death by a thousand cuts every day for a long, long period of time.
And here's the voice of Mayor Wheeler. Let's start there. Good afternoon, Mayor. Welcome to KABU.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
May I ask you, when you first heard of those murders, what was your reaction? What was your feeling?
Well, my initial reaction was shock, followed shortly after that by disgust. As people well know now, I was actually on the inaugural Delta flight to London, and I was to go to London to meet with some of my counterparts and some of our important business relationships overseas. And I got word about halfway across the Atlantic Ocean about what had happened, and I made a decision right then and there that I needed to return as quickly as possible. My place was back in Portland with what was then a grieving and confused community.
Can you describe the city's approach and what impact you feel it will have?
These are very, very difficult times. In the current political climate, in my view, it allows way too much room for those who spread bigotry and hatred. And we now know, as I believe most people knew then, that violent words can lead to violent acts. And even in Charlottesville, this has been a painful reminder. So my initial thought was probably an overcorrection. I said I did not want people with those points of views to be here, period. And I did not want them to protest, and I did not want the federal government to extend to them a permit. And my reasoning for that at the time was I believed there was a time, place, and manner issue. It was just too close to the event, and people were upset, and they were angry, and they were still grieving. And so I did not think it was wise for them to come here. They held one protest, they blocked another. But the work we've been doing since then is really about getting the community to come together and expressing collectively that we are an open and welcoming and inclusive city, that we are a sanctuary city, and we've backed that up with legal action. We're going to fight hatred. We're going to fight hate speech. We're going to fight Nazis. We just don't want that kind of rhetoric in this community. I, of course, don't mean literally fight, but I mean we will fight them legally. We'll fight them with our voices. We will fight them with our collective viewpoint that we want to continue to be a community of diversity, of immigrants, and of refugees. It makes us stronger as a community.
Mayor, what would you say to the skeptics? Say, this is just another blip in the history of racism here. How can we use this event to change things over the long term? Can we do that?
I think it's important for just the ordinary person who's listening to this and going, what can I do? The answer is we all have to speak up. We can no longer afford silence on this matter. And for my part, that means we are taking action against the Trump administration. We have sued them. We are going to continue to support our sanctuary status. We're going to continue to bring refinements to City Hall. We're in the process of retraining our employees in terms of what that means and how we can help people. We're providing significant funding to legal aid and other services that provide support for immigrants and refugees in our community. And through my own leadership, I think it's important for me to continue to lead by example. I have assembled a highly competent, highly diverse staff of leaders here in my office. As many people know, we've just hired our first black woman to be our new police chief. But we've got to all lead by example. And the first thing is just speaking up, teaching our kids that we will never accept hatred or bigotry. Remind them that what made this country great was that we are a nation of diversity. We're a nation of immigrants. We're a nation of refugees. Many people came here by choice, but we cannot deny the fact that many people came here in chains.
Here are other perspectives on these questions. First, Dr. Murthy, who connects the election last November with the current environment. And then Mr. Khan, who talks about the subtle systemic racism that affects all of us.
I feel like that sense of surprise and shock was primarily coming from white people. That white people, white liberal people also, were very, very shocked that white men, women could vote for this person, right? But as a person of color, we were extremely sad and depressed by the election and by the results of the election. We were extremely sad, shocked, depressed, and traumatized by the murders on the MAX train. But none of that seemed as much of a surprise to a person of color, to an LGBTQ person, to anybody who has kind of experienced oppression historically as well as currently.
Bullying is happening in a school, and the teacher doesn't really check it because maybe that's a part of their norms, of their cultural norms that they grew up in, that they just kind of accept that behavior. And so what happens is that people grow up and they feel empowered that this is acceptable behavior to conduct towards others. And so they go into different situations in which either they could be somebody in the criminal justice system and they feel like treating people in a wrongful way or a hateful way is appropriate, or they may also feel like acting this way towards other people on the street or in the workforce or in any different number of different environments is acceptable. And so that's why we believe that it's all throughout the system that's become pervasive, is that there's this sort of white nationalism and white supremacy that also directly impacts the Muslim community.
On the question of how the suspect survived his arrest, this issue in some ways embodies the fundamental division of opinion that separates people by race in Portland. Here's Linda Castillo. Do you think that the perpetrator was arrested with more caution than other suspects in other situations of violent crime?
Absolutely. I think this is where our communities really see
a really specific line drawn in terms of the difference, the way communities of color are treated in law enforcement issues versus the way a white suspect is treated. And this is an individual who had been on the radar with the police for quite some time. He was even in eastern Portland, you know, running around with a bat and saying menacing things, and people just escorted him off the the baseball diamond. And I don't think that would have been the same case had this person been a black person.
In our third episode, we'll consider the victims and their families and the impact of these murders on the lives of people directly involved. We'll talk with a mother, Asha Deliverance, who lost a son that day, and we'll talk with Micah Fletcher, just the guy on the train trying to get to work that ordinary afternoon when death's door opened and nearly pulled him in.
This is our fall membership drive, rather. We're here on the fall equinox asking for your support for KBOO Community Radio as you're listening to Tom Flynn's special report that he put together. Tom is a volunteer here at KBOO and does amazing investigative work. I mean, the work that he puts in and the professionalism of it, I think, is on par, if not exceeding, that of professional journalists that have that are paid to do this work. And KBOO is able to do that. We provide the equipment. We provide the training with your support. And we're asking you to support right now during this, our News and Public Affairs Day. Call and support KBOO, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. Consider giving at the $25 a month level. $25 will be your subscription. You'll get a KBOO hoodie. You'll get to wear that around town. This is the only place you can get the KBOO hoodie or any of our t-shirts, by calling in your subscription to KBOO. KBOO gets to the root of the problem. We're digging deep, providing analysis, and we're doing that because we have listener support. This is how the station is funded. 877-500-5266.
That's right. You know, you're the one that makes the difference, and you're listening to really important programming. One of the things I like about Tom Flynn's work on the Hollywood murders is that he went to the people who used the Hollywood transit station, and he talked to them about how they felt, what they were seeing. I love Amy Goodman for the same thing in the morning on Democracy Now! She goes to the people directly impacted, and we get to hear their voices. I know that you appreciate that as well. Please take a moment right now. Call us at 877-500-5266. Today, your dollars will be doubled. That's right. So we want to thank Theo. He's from Northeast Portland. He's a renewing member. We really want, yeah, let's ring that bell for Theo. And now we want to hear the phone ring for you. We really do rely on you to make the difference here at this station. 80% of all of our operating funds come directly from you, the listener. And we need you to continue going. Now, maybe you think, well, you don't need me in particular, but every one of you that calls in makes a difference, and you make a difference with your dollars in the world, because this kind of programming gets heard by more people. Thoughtful, in-depth programming brought to you by members of your community who volunteer their time. It's so worth a contribution. Jenka was suggesting $25 a month. I think that's a great amount. The hoodie is wonderful. Winter is coming, as that phrase is said, and the hoodie would be great for you. How about $25 a month? Call and make that a contribution. It can come directly out of your checking account or your savings or a credit card. Easy to do. 877-500-5266 is the number that you need to call to be able to do that. You can go to kboo.fm as well on the web, and there is even a place there to say what you would like to get as a gift. But we hope that for you, the gift is intelligent, left of the dial, digging in deep programming like you're getting here today. It's kboo.fm, 877-500-5266. Do it right now. Your dollars make a difference. We have a goal of $700. We've got $580 more to go. That could be you.
Yeah, you know, you'll also be entered into a drawing. Today's drawing is for the Northwest's Premier Environmental Film Festival. You win a total of 10 pairs of tickets to the Portland Eco Film Festival held at the Hollywood Theater. You'll be able to see every film in that festival and maybe share those tickets around. That will be every person who calls today. 877-500-5266 will be entered to win. In addition, amazing KBOO members have come together today to offer a generous match. Every new and increased member gets an opportunity to double their impact today. Your donation will be matched dollar for dollar during this News and PA Day special. The members providing this match want you to know that this community radio station is backed up by a strong community of people. Call right now, 877-500-5266. You know, the first time I donated to a community radio station, became a member, was WPFW in D.C. I remember hearing the people asking, and I was wondering, what is this all about? I had heard they were asking for money during Democracy Now, and they wanted they had a $3,000 goal, and then there was this show that had a $300 goal, and they weren't getting it, and they weren't getting it, and I said, I'll contribute. I'll do my $5 a month and help this show reach their goal. It's a modest $300 goal. I can do my part. I support this. I remember it was a reggae show. I'm like, I like reggae as well as Democracy Now. I like it all. So if that's you, if you've been holding out and you've been thinking, well, I'll just help a show reach their goal. Now you can help this show reach its goal. If we just have a few people giving that $10 a month contribution, we will reach our $700 goal by the end of the hour. Do call right now and support your community radio station. 877-500-5266 or go online, kboo.fm.
Or come right down here to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. You'll see the big mural on the front of the building, just a half a block off of Burnside towards the south. Any way that you want to give the dollars, it makes a difference. $25 is what we're suggesting right now. $25 a month, that could get you our wonderful hoodie. Winter is coming and we want to keep you warm. And you want to speak out to the world to say, hey, I'm with KBOO. I'm with KBOO. Oh, and you can see it here on my hoodie. You know, I wear a little button that says KBOO.FM. I can't tell you how many times people ask me about that or look at it. When you become a member, you are impacting all of Portland. And if you're new to Portland, put your roots down that way and call us right now at 877-500-5266.
Hollywood Murders, A Day in May. This is the third in a five-part series of KBOO Evening News. Today we talk about the victims and their families. What is and will be the impact of these murders on the lives of people directly involved in the event? And were the victims heroes? We were unable to reach the two central figures in the drama that afternoon, the two young women who were the objects of a verbal assault. Here's Linda Castillo of PUA describing them.
The young women, one of them has gone into hiding because she is absolutely frightened for her life, was completely traumatized by the event, and this was the young lady who had the hijab who was targeted by the individual. And then the other young lady, African-American lady, has been a little more vocal and has talked to the press a little bit about her experience. So I think for both of them it has been life-changing.
Asha Deliverance is the mother of Taliesin, who died that day. Here we talk with her about her son and the impact of his murder. First of all, I want to express our condolences, as weak as that seems. We will miss this person for many, many years.
Thank you.
She begins by describing the town where he grew up, Ashland, Oregon.
Very artful, musy town, lots of creativity. It's very gorgeous because we have Mount Ashland and a beautiful creek running through the town, Lithia Creek. My children grew up here, and Talishan grew up here. We lived right across the street from the park, so he had a really lovely stomping grounds to grow up in. Lots of trees to climb and a lovely community to be part of.
How have you processed the event in this time?
In the beginning, it was more difficult, of course, because it was very shocking to hear that your child was killed. That's probably the worst nightmare of any parent. And we were all completely traumatized and devastated. not understanding anything about the incident or whatever had happened. It was just completely shocking. And it wasn't until I arrived at the memorial at the station 24 hours after he had been killed that I realized what had happened, that he was standing up to defend some girls on the train from a racist comment. And I'm grateful to my son, and I just want to say this, that all of us, you know, his family members, which you may have heard that he has 8 siblings and a mom and a dad and lots of cousins and dear friends and, you know, some females in his life that he had been close to in the past and one current girlfriend. And all of us, including his high school girlfriend who came to me yesterday or 2 days ago and told me how she can't even think about him without feeling love, that she can't feel sadness. And all of us have felt that. We cannot feel sadness because he's got us all surrounded with love. And that is the grandness of the journey that we all need to take. All of us. We all need to take the grand journey of love so that we can nurture each other, comfort each other, stand for each other in the face of danger.
Micah Fletcher was one of those victims. He almost died that day, but here he is at KABU. Micah, welcome to KABU.
Thank you. Glad to be here, Tom.
Or I should say, welcome back to KABU. You were here as a volunteer some time back. I don't know exactly when, but...
Yeah. I was working with Mike Crenshaw and the Solomon Star.
Micah, I'm going to get right to it. You were seriously wounded, but you seem to have recovered fast, at least physically. How are you doing? And what about the part of you, the psychological part? How are you doing in that respect, too?
Physically speaking, I've recovered very well. Doctors expected a full recovery. They got one. And as of right now, there's no unforeseen consequences in the realm of physicality. Mentally speaking, I'm not in a good spot. Not in the best. I jump at loud sounds. I jump whenever something pops out around a corner or something and I don't expect it. Just a lot of me being very tense and ready to fight for my life all the time. And it's not the best. I almost feel as if my city has turned into some sort of a battleground, essentially. And I'm just trying to make my way through the fallout, get out of the way of all the soldiers.
How are you processing what happened? How do you move through it? What's your technique? Do you have one?
It's less about process and more about understanding. At least with this current situation, there's really nothing to process. 2 people died and I almost did. That's it. There's no questions left on the end of that. Somebody lost their mind, assaulted 3 people, killed 2 of them, and almost killed a 3rd. And to be honest, a lot of this probably has to do with the fact that I've experienced violence for a very good portion of my life. I am no stranger to being assaulted. I am no stranger to thinking I'm going to die. What I am doing is basically trying to allow time. Time for my brain to recognize that it is not constantly in danger and that I'm going to be okay.
In that time, when you watch the events on the train car and you watch the alleged perpetrator, a Christian, taunting these women and the other people stepping in, what was it that made you willing to jump into that? What went through your mind in that moment?
Nothing. It's just who I am. There's no quite like before this happened. I've been doing this for years. All right, like I was a bouncer at a queer nightclub for youth. Like this is who I am. If somebody is threatening somebody else, I will be in the middle of it. I don't care. It's not going to happen. Like, I'd rather die than live in a world where I just don't deal with things and be a bystander. There's a number of reasons why people don't get involved in this, and none of those reasons apply to me. I am fully capable and able to. And if you're fully incapable and able to intervene in a situation in which people could get hurt, you have an obligation to, as far as I'm concerned.
You just heard Asher Deliverance and Micah Fletcher. In our fourth episode, we'll try to see the event in a national perspective. Is racism becoming respectable, mainstream?
Hi, this is Linda here at Membership Central. You have been listening to KBOO, and you have been listening to our News and Public Affairs special day of programming. Specifically, you've been listening to the Hollywood Murder special. This was put together by one of the volunteers here at KBOO. 99% of the people you hear on this station are here behind the station, you know, doing things like switching from one interview to another or being the receptionist. They're volunteers. They're people like you who've decided that they want to make a difference by being here. Many of them, and most of them, I assume, are also members. You can make a difference right now by calling us at 877-500-5266 and helping us reach our goal today for News and Public Affairs Day. Now, maybe you were tuning in and thinking you were going to get your regular Friday afternoon music. Well, I love our Friday afternoon music as well, but don't let that stop you. Don't let that turn you off. You can also support our public affairs. Become a member right now. If you're new to the community, this is a great way to put your roots down. It's easy to do. You just have to dial 877-500-5266. And whatever amount you choose to contribute will be doubled. That's right. It's a special Double Your Dollars Day. This is because there are members of the KBOO community who wanted to make it easier, encourage you who have not become a member before, or maybe who haven't, you were a member years ago and you haven't renewed ever again. They want to reach you and say, become a member today. We'll double what you do. If you give $100, we'll give $100. If you give $200, we'll give an additional $200. So know that your dollars will be doubled by calling us right this minute. That's right. During this hour, 877-500-5266 is the number. We have about $580 to go. Now, that could be just, three or four of you calling in and making the difference. It could be one of you at the $500 level, but I'm recommending $10 a month. At $10 a month, we can give you a spectacular flash drive. It will be supporting KBOO. This flash drive has a huge amount of archive audio from people that you will want to hear from, but I'm going to point out one other thing it has that I think is really exciting, and that's an internet security toolkit. Maybe you've been wondering, should I protect my email? Should I be encrypted? This has everything you need to do that for yourself. That's the flash drive, $10 a month. Call us at 877-500-5266. Put that on your credit card or put that on your debit card and say, I'll go for $10 a month. I can feel that. And give me that great flash drive. I'll see what you guys have got to say. If you're new in the area, you've turned to KBOO because someone's told you about us, or maybe you were just rolling near that other one on the dial, and you came to us and you said, well, that's kind of interesting programming. Let me listen a little bit more. That's a great way to be introduced to KBOO. Now make it part of your family. Make it something that you feel proprietary about. That's 877-500-5266. You can dial that number and become a member, and you are a proprietor. You get to vote for the board. You get to help make decisions. And whether you are a member or not, you get to come in here and impact what's on the radio. Become a volunteer as well. But we want today your $10 a month. That's right. You can give it to us right now, 877-500-5266. I think it's probably a beautiful afternoon out there, and I want to shake it up a little and say, oh, don't drowse in the sun too long. Pick out that, take that phone out of your pocket. Whatever you're listening to us on, maybe you're listening to us on your smartphone. I do that when I'm taking walks with my dog. I don't even have to put in an earphone. I can just carry it with me and hear it. My dog likes to listen too. So the way to become a member, the way to show your support for great radio, actually the only station that you will find in this city that's really alternative, is to call us at 877-500-5266. If you're listening to us from out and around the area, maybe you're all the way down in Corvallis or Philomath, maybe you're over towards the coast, and you turn this on every day because you want to hear special programming. Maybe you turn on in the morning for our public affairs programming. Please give us a call right now. We'd love to say you're in the house or Vancouver's in the house. We know we have a lot of listeners from Vancouver. Please, you make the difference with your dollars. We need your dollars right now to stay on track. We've been doing really well this membership drive. You guys have been stepping up. All of our listeners have been stepping up, and we're right about on track. But we need those dollars today to stay on track. The way you can do it is 877-500-5266. If you appreciate homegrown, in-depth programming like Tom Flynn's The Hollywood Murders, really appreciate that with your dollars. It makes such a difference. You know, that was his idea. We as volunteers, we come up with our ideas for the programming we want, and we often can get that on the air because this is community radio. 877-500-5266. Make a difference with your dollars. We need it right now. Do it right away. Don't be a last-minuter. There's only 15 more minutes. Maybe you are a last-minuter already. Only 15 more minutes to become a member, and we need about $580 worth of contributions. Take the chunk of that that you can give. Pick the prize that you can get, and do it right now. Become a member of KBOO, the best radio station this town has. 877-500-5266.
The Hollywood Murders, A Day in May. Episode 4, The National Spotlight. In this episode, we'll try to find the national perspective. Here's Dr. Shweta Murthy on how the national media handled the incident. Her comment is all the more interesting in light of what took place in Charlottesville on August 12th.
What I found interesting about the way the Portland Max murders were narrated and portrayed in what I saw was how mainstream media chooses to isolate an incident in a particular geography and say, this can only happen there. It won't ever happen to us where we live. So the Max murders ended up being a unique ramification of the white supremacy history in Oregon, but it was portrayed as white supremacy doesn't happen anywhere else, right? Or that hate incidents or hate violence don't impact people of color anywhere else, when really only, you know, a couple of months around that was the killing of the Indian engineer in Kansas by a white supremacist.
Dr. Blazak made this comment about the comparison with Boston.
I think Boston has a little bit more of a history of dealing with all its moving parts than Portland does, because we're in a certain state of denial. I mean, if you think about the busing issues in Boston, and, you know, they really sort of powered through it, we're just in this kind of bubble, and people use this term all the time, this bubble of denial.
What about the treatment of people who commit this type of crime? According to Zakir Khan, the mental health issue can actually distract us.
I mean, I often see when a situation happens in Portland, one of the very first questions that Sergeant Pete Simpson, who's the public information officer for PPB, is asked is, did the person have a mental health issue? That question is never the first question asked when a Muslim person is arrested for a suspected crime.
Is there anyone who still believes that putting people in prison really solves anything? We still do that, of course, and no one seems to have any viable alternative. But what price do we pay for this solution? Randy Blazak talking about the connection between hate crime and prison life. Randy, it looks like a lot of people, including Jeremy Christian, get much of their education on hate in prison. Is that right?
Yeah, this is a big part of it. Even the way he stabbed those men in the neck was a prison tactic. That's something you learn. You jab people in the vein of the neck very quickly, repeatedly. That is a prison tactic if there ever was one. And one of the things, and this is another big issue, is radicalization in prisons that we see. This is a big issue in Oregon. We see people who come to prison and they're, let's say they're caught on a Measure 11, because we have mandatory minimum sentencing here, that you can go to prison on a very low level offense. It doesn't matter if it's your first offense or not. And you go to prison and you're suddenly all by yourself, and there are Latino gangs and black gangs and other gangs, and you're looking at a pretty hard existence. And then a white supremacist gang comes up and says, hey, we'll protect you, but you got to do what we tell you to do. You go into that prison not affected by hate, and you come out covered in swastikas. So we just had this murder on August 10th of last year of this young African-American, Larnell Bruce, was killed by a member of European Kindred. European Kindred runs a lot of the prisons in Oregon. They're the leading white supremacist prison gang, but today's prisoner is tomorrow's neighbor.
Micah Fletcher pointed out that there's a connection between hate crime and drug dealing. When he calls out EK, he's talking about European Kindred.
The meth in Gresham that's moving down here, a lot of that's coming from EK. Like, these are not groups of people that are to be ignored. They need to be dealt with. Typically, white supremacist gangs deal in a lot of drugs. That's how they make a lot of their money.
There's been a shift in the national discussion of racism, for sure. Here's Blazak again.
It's a frightening thing because we've moved the political discourse in this country to the right extremely. So the people who were sort of mainstream conservatives are now starting to become towards the left, and the people who are on the left are just a bunch of commies. You know, the anti-fascists on a certain level have a real reason to want to be out in front of this, because there is this movement, and if we don't wrestle our democracy back, it could keep going farther and farther to the right, where at some point...
In a final episode, we'll ask the question, where do we go from here? How do we leave this? How do we write the history of what happened that day? The Hollywood Murders, A Day in May. Episode 5, Where Do We Go From Here? Dr. Blazak sees a major change happening in the city.
Well, I want to say this to the friends and the families of the victims and to all the people who are involved in that. Because of the sacrifice of those three men, there is a sea change in the city. There's money coming from the city government to fight hate crimes and to improve community capacity to respond to hate. And none of this would have happened if it hadn't been for those three men standing up on that day.
A week after the event, Oregon Senators Wyden and Merkley submitted a resolution to Congress. Their bill proposed, quote, to honor acts of heroism and sacrifice for the safety and sake of others in the face of acts of domestic terrorism, end quote. The resolution passed the Senate, but House leadership has refused to put it up for a vote. The House has recently passed similar resolutions condemning violence against the congressional baseball team. You remember that incident. The terrorist attack at the Ariana Grande concert in England, and the one-year anniversary of a mass murder at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. So, why can't Congress act on Portland's event? Here's Senator Wyden.
You know, we've had this bipartisan, resolution, and for the life of me, I can't figure out why the House of Representatives will not move this. I mean, this seems to be a straightforward step, which is really so often pursued in the Senate as something bipartisan. The delegation is for this resolution in a bipartisan way. I've met with the families, met with the Somalis. I just hope we'll be able to pass it early in the fall.
Here's Mayor Wheeler on the issue of leadership. Mayor, it must be more difficult in this environment where we appear to have no national leadership on this issue.
I'm going to take a slightly different tack. We do have national leadership on this issue. Unfortunately, the national leadership is of the wrong kind exactly. We have a president who seems to be at least tacitly, if not overtly, supportive of the white nationalist movement and the neo-Nazi movement here in the United States. And it's important for leaders like me to call it out and rebut it. And it's important for folks at home to teach your kids. These are not the values that we should be supporting.
Asha Deliverance wrote to President Trump. Why did she do that?
He's the leader of our country, and to have these kinds of incidents, just asking him to pay attention to this incident, to all the incidents that are similar all over the country, which, you know, even since this incident, there have been many others, and, you know, that these incidents, if he spoke to them with his heart and soul, he could change this country.
We were speaking to Asha Deliverance a few days before the incident in Charlottesville, Virginia, where a woman was run over by a right-wing hate crime perpetrator. Sadly, in the week after that event, the president revealed what his true feelings were. And he seemed to confirm the view expressed by the mayor. His leadership wasn't lacking. It was just wrong-headed. Or maybe I should say, it was wrong-hearted. In this vacuum, individuals have the responsibility to take action. Here's Zakir Khan.
I'm often reminded of the resistance in World War II when it came to all of the people that were willing to stand up for the Jewish population and just what tremendous strength that they showed. Every single person within the state of Oregon has a role in playing to curb hate. You might think that you yourself are just one person, but you could be one person and you create a really great project, you get a team around you, and you help build that project up, and amazing things will happen.
Here's Micah Fletcher talking about the sacrifices that people made and what heroism means to him.
And I lived because I was just doing the right thing. We were all just doing the right thing. The difference is, for some reason, luck threw its dice and I happened to survive it.
Wait a minute, you don't have to die to be a hero.
You're right, you don't have to die to be a hero. That's not what I mean. What I mean is, by them losing their life, there is a different level of sacrifice to that. See, I lost a sense of safety. That's different. That happens in a number of different situations all the time to numerous people worldwide. And not to say that dying is a rare thing. People die every minute of every day. But when you died in the name of something, for something, to protect somebody, that's different. That is heroic.
Here's our thinking as we close. Mayor Wheeler on what the ordinary person can do.
And so I think it's important for just the ordinary person who's listening to this and going, what can I do? The answer is we all have to speak up. We can no longer afford silence on this matter.
And Dr. Blazak on why this time in history is especially important.
The good news is those people are going to lose because demographics are changing. America is becoming a much more diverse. Our nation is becoming a brown nation. Demographically, it's changing, but the danger is that the people on the right freak out so much over that demographic shift that's happening automatically that they are going to become more violent, more aggressive in their attempt to, quote-unquote, save America. So that's why this point in history is really, really important, that we can't just sort of sit back and watch it happen.
Senator Wyden on the impact of the event on the state of Oregon. Senator, in the long run, will that event be just another racial incident of hatred in our history, or can it be a turning point in how the community deals with this issue?
I hope it'll be a watershed, at least for us in Oregon. I know at our town hall meetings, and this year there's been unprecedented interest. I believe Oregonians want this horrible tragedy that we saw to really stand for the time when we said there's going to be zero tolerance for hate.
And we give the last word here to Micah Fletcher.
And until Portland is willing to admit and look itself in the mirror and say, yeah, we got a problem, then we're going to continue to have a problem. And we don't want that. This city is full of good people, great people. It does not need that. It does not want that. but it's afraid. Don't be afraid. You are powerful. We are all powerful. We can change the city we live in, the culture we live in, the way things happen. We just have to be brave enough to get together and try. We have to. There's no other option at this point.
You just heard the last in a 5-part series, The Hollywood Murders, A Day in May. You can listen to the whole series at our website, kboo.fm, and call or email us with your comments.
You have been listening to The Hollywood Murders on KBOO's News and Public Affairs Day. I want to ask you right now, this is the very last minute for this hour of it programming. Call us at 877-500-5266. Give what you can to become a member of KBOO. 877-500-5266. Do it right now.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Finance Committee meets the fourth Monday of every month at 4:30 p.m.
KBOO would like to give a special thanks to our local community partner who donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Cafe 11, located at 435 Northeast Rosa Parks Way, a family-friendly coffee shop in the Woodlawn neighborhood of Northeast Portland. Dinner was provided by Dean Nicola's, located at 3520 Southeast Powell Boulevard in Portland, and serving Italian food for over 40 years. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 4 o'clock. Coming up next is your afternoon dose of Democracy Now!
Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
She misses her siblings, her mom, her dad. She thinks she will go home and find them there.
On August 25th, a bomb destroyed her house. She was the only survivor.
Even now, I can't forget my brother.